Salt.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hey, Jared, little housekeeping thing here as we get rolling, Jared. Sorry, I just pulled it up on my computer over there. Hey, welcome, folks. Listen, I got so much stuff to talk about today. I'm glad you joined us here today. Hey, Jared, go to my I sent you a link, Jared. I don't know if you can open it because it's a Facebook link. Go to my Facebook page link, Jared, and you'll find a picture on there of a woman preacher. That's what I want to be able to play that here in a minute, Jared. I think it's important that we do that. Hey, welcome, folks. Man, oh, man, oh, man. I did not watch Obama last night. I didn't watch him. He went on and gave his farewell speech last night. Hey, I appreciate anybody who goes into what they call public service, although what a joke that is. I'm public service. Public service. He's going to walk out of there a multimillionaire and have his whole future laid out before him. So the idea that these guys go to Washington, D.C. and sacrifice for us, it's time we opened our eyes up and realize what a facade that is. And that public service used to be, I don't know if you know this, public service used to be a duty. You took your turn. It wasn't a paid position. You went and served on the city council. It was your duty. It was sort of like serving in the military. That's why they call it public service. I'm going to tell you, if I'm a fireman, I'm sorry there, Chad. If I'm a policeman and they're paying me $65,000 a year, I ain't a public servant. Sorry, I'm getting paid to do it. And so therefore, a public servant is somebody who goes out and stands on the corner by themselves, someone who goes and stands in front of a school and helps children get across the, what do they call those, guards? That's a public servant. Mayor's not a public servant. He's a public servant in that he's supposed to work for the public, but he's not a public servant in that he's just the greatest guy ever for doing it. And I was talking to a guy the other day. Boy, I'm going to make some of them mad. I'll put this hat on. Maybe they won't be so mad at me. I was talking to a guy the other day about military service. I know who I was talking to. Yeah, I know. The benefits that come with serving in the military. Veterans benefits. Listen, I know these guys. I understand the World War II veterans. I understand Vietnam. I understand the sacrifices they made. But we're about talking about guys who just go in there and they serve 4 years and they come out and they got the GI Bill and they can get home loans. They can get all this, all because they went and served in the military for 4 years. I am not besmirching anybody's military service. Don't take this wrong. I'm not. But if you get benefits for it, is it really service? See, Rich, that comes back to the gospel, doesn't it? See, I want benefits for going out and serving the Lord. I want to have some benefits associated with it. We know that in Luke 22, I believe it is. Let's go there real quick, Jared. Let's go there real quick. Boy, is this the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because this was not where I was planning to go, but I'm going to go there now. And now that I said it, I got to pull my other Bible. I got a bunch of them with me today. Luke 22, I think it is, Jared. Let me make sure from my own scripture. We've read this before. You're not a public servant if you're getting something out of it. Luke 22. Yes, Luke 22. And let's scroll down here, Jared, to verse 25. Scroll that down there for me. 23, we'll start. Public service, Christian service, Christian service. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Jesus talked about them being betrayed. And there was also a strife among them of which of them should be accounted the greatest. Huh? Who's going to get the most benefits for serving Jesus? They're arguing back then. And Jesus said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. In other words, benefactor is someone who gets something out of it. You go into public service because you get a pension. You serve in Congress for what, 6 years, I think it is, and you get your salary for life? That's public service? Are you kidding me? But Jesus said, you shall not be so. 26. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is the chief as he that doth serve. For who is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that serveth, sitteth at meal? But I'm among you as a servant. You understand? Public service is supposed to be without benefit for you. And when we got into the condition in America where public service became a profession, boy, did we ever lose. Oh, my goodness. And now you think about that. You know why they hate Donald Trump so much? Because he isn't one of them. He isn't a guy who's dedicated his whole life to government, public service. Remember how they were saying he's not qualified? Trump's not qualified. Well, why isn't he qualified? Well, really what they're telling you, he's not qualified because he didn't go to Harvard and study politics. He didn't go to Yale and go to the Kennedy School of Government. He didn't go to Columbia, and he didn't go to all these Eastern liberal schools that would train him in government. And those guys that go to Harvard and go to Yale, they go there, Penn, they go there because they want to have a career in government. They don't want public service, although we call them public servants. They're not public servants. Obama, how much did we see that he spent? How many millions of dollars just in vacations? That's a public servant? Are you kidding me? And see, because they're not public servants, because they're getting benefits out of it, they fight to keep their jobs. They fight to keep them. I volunteer. I go to the abortion clinic. I volunteer. I probably wouldn't gripe so much if they paid me to show up. I could go down there and stand and they could pay me and I could call myself a pro-life volunteer, but I'm not a public servant. They're paying me to do it. They're paying cops to be cops. They're paying policemen to be policemen, firemen to be firemen, and EMTs to be EMTs. They're paying them. Now, I understand the sacrifices they make and the dangers they're under. I'm not making light of that. But you do not have to be trained in government to govern. If you own a business, you are governing. You are making decisions. You are running a budget. You are managing people. That's all government is managing people. Oh, my goodness. So we bought a line of bologna. So Obama goes out there last night, and I said to my buddy Chad, Chad's one of my favorite lines I got from Chad, is be careful that your emotions will betray you. And now everybody's crying and whining because why? Obama's leaving? Are you kidding me? I'm dancing on the table that he's finally out of there. Last night they talked about how wonderful his family is and how loyal his wife is. Well, hell, so's my wife. My wife's loyal to me. At what point is that supposed to be some badge of honor? Your wife's loyal to you. Your kids are good. That's supposed to be something that we, oh my goodness. Nobody talks about, do you know that the United States of America, since Barack Obama has been president of the United States, has dropped more bombs than any time since the World War II? We're dropping like 3 bombs a minute. You say, Coach, you're crazy. I'm not crazy. Ever since he's been in office. We have lost so much. We've lost sight of everything in this nation. Servant leadership up, and we're wondering why we are losing our freedoms. I got some great stuff to share with you today. If the Lord gives me the ability to be able to do it. Chad, those of you who are public servants, God bless you. I appreciate you doing it. But if you're a public servant, why are you writing me a speeding ticket? How's that serve me? Well, we'll say our job is to protect. Oh, really? Well, get that guy going 20 miles an hour out of the fast lane, will you? I would rather you ticket him than me. Get him out of the way. I wrote a column a few years ago called Policing the Law Abiding, because that's really what's going on. I was in Chicago last weekend. I saw that in Chicago, that they're getting, what, 3 murders a day or something? Something unbelievable in Chicago, south side of Chicago, south and west side of Chicago. They're war zones. And I saw the police chief admit that they don't even try to stop it. They don't even try to stop it. And why don't they try to stop it? Because of the bureaucracy that comes along with it. And if you're a white cop and you arrest a black guy, then you got to go through the bevy of lawyers to try to do what the right thing. And so therefore, they stop arresting those guys. I heard yesterday that in most major cities, I don't know if you guys know this, most major cities in America, they don't even charge you with heroin possession anymore. Heroin is so, it's so common. They don't even charge you with the crime anymore. Our jails would be packed with it. I remember when I was growing up, heroin was the thing. Heroin, not anymore. We do what the Bible tells us. We're creators of evil. We find different substances to mix together to get a better high. And there's no restraining. And that's why I'm trying to help people see this, that we are in an age. The scriptures tell us that the time is going to come when the restrainer doesn't restrain anymore. It says he who lets doesn't let anymore. And if you just stop and think about this, think about you before you were saved. Just think about me before I was saved. My evil, had it not been that my parents trained me at least with a conscience, had it not been for that, my evil would have been absolutely unrestrained. There wasn't anything I wouldn't have done if I thought I could get away with it. Somebody give me a thumbs up so I know I'm not the only sinner here. If I thought I could get away with it, look out, baby. Look out. And so we quit teaching accountability because people are getting away with about anything. Like I did, just look at what's going on in Washington, D.C. Because people are getting away with everything, there's no fear of punishment, no fear of crime and punishment anymore. We don't worry about that anymore. Because we've lost our fear of crime and punishment, we've lost our fear of the Lord. And so now we live in this secular world where people think, well, I'm just going to get punished in this secular world. And we try to say to them, no, 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 hey, pal, it ain't about that. It's about that next world. It's about the next world. You better get your butt in line because there's payday coming in the next world. And see, we stopped even talking about that. The enemy's been capable of taking the idea of a heaven and an earth totally and completely out of our thought process anymore, or has watered it down to the point where we think, well, I'm a good person. I'm going to make it into heaven. I'm a good person. And you say to somebody, well, what makes you a good person? Well, they immediately get into a comparison. Well, I'm better than this guy, and I'm better than this guy, and I'm better than this guy, and I'm better than this guy. And so they look around, and they look at themselves, and they look at their motives, and they say, I'm a pretty good guy. Yeah, I do a lot of crappy stuff. Yeah, I do, yeah, but I'm basically a good guy. And so we've taken the level of getting into heaven just being a good guy. And who determines whether or not you're the good guy? You get to make that determination. You're a good guy. Huh? My intentions were good, huh? I hear tell the road to hell was paved with good intentions, right? That's where we are, see? And sadly, this is what has infiltrated the church. And the church was supposed to be the salt of the earth. The church was supposed to be the one who restrained. And the church has dropped its guard, and now they're climbing over the walls. And those that were on the outside are now on the inside, and they haven't been redeemed, they haven't changed. They're still good people. And if you're really and truly going to go into the local churches, and I don't want to come across as a guy who's bashing the local church. I would think there would be nothing that America needs better or more than good, strong local churches. Nothing we need more than that. But see, we're not going to get strong local churches if we, I hate to say it, the guys currently standing in the pulpits, they can't give us a good local church. They can't give it to us. If they could, they'd already be doing it. They can't. They can't do it. The sin in the church is amazing. I'm in Matthew, Jared. I'm going to jump in here real quick. Am I doing okay this morning, fellas? Y'all with me? No, nobody wants to kick me in the teeth yet? Jared, I'm in Matthew 6. I want to show you something here real quick. I want to read something. I don't know if you guys have one of these. I'll hold it up to the light. It's called the Evidence Bible. If you want to get somebody a gift, maybe a new believer, doesn't matter. This was written by Ray Comfort. Well, not written. That's not the right word. He didn't write the Bible. But this Bible was compiled by Ray Comfort. And all through this Bible, it's King James. It has the scriptures, but it has little anecdotes and little stories all throughout this thing that is really, really good. And I was getting ready to come downstairs today. I wasn't really sure. I had 1,000 things I wanted to talk about, but didn't really know what I wanted to talk about. And I said to my wife, honey, do you have something for me this morning? she's sitting up at the table, and she says, yeah, how about this? And she handed this to me. And I'm going to share it with you. Okay? Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Let's go to Matthew 6 real quick, because I'm going to try to tie this all together. I'm going to start in let's go up to 27, Jerry. I can't quite see it. There you go. Thanks, brother. Let's go to 25. Right there we are. These are Jesus' words, by the way. Jesus said this in 24. No man can serve two masters. You can't serve Jesus and the world. You can't serve Jesus and your friends. You can't serve Jesus and your family. You can if your family's in line. But if your family's not in line, at some point you got to make a choice. You can't serve two masters. For he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought for your life from what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Now stay with me. Which of you, by taking thought, can add 1 inch to his height? Oh, boy, I wish I could be taller sometimes. And why do you take thought for your clothes? Look at the lilies of the field. They grow, and they don't toil, and they don't spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory, he wasn't dressed nearly as fancy as those flowers are. Verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is here and tomorrow is gone, cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye a little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wheresoever shall we clothe? This doesn't mean be irresponsible. He said, don't put all your attention into that, okay? Verse 32, here's where I'm heading. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. Who are the Gentiles? The unsaved, the lost world. He said, when you're saved, you ain't going to act like that lost world. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all this other stuff's going to be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall be evil enough for the things of itself. Sufficient unto this day is the evil thereof. And so this is in Ray Comfort's Bible. And then at the bottom of it, he has this little commentary. And I want to try to read this to you. I may have to put on two sets of glasses because these are my show glasses and they're not as strong. William Penn, founded the University of Pennsylvania, said this. Listen. The unmortified Christian. What's an unmortified Christian? It's a Christian that hasn't died to himself. William Penn says the unmortified Christian and the heathen both have the same religion. And the deity they truly worship is the God of this world. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? And how shall we pass away our time? Which way may we gather and perpetuate our names and families in this earth? It's a mournful reflection, William Penn says. But a truth which will not be denied, that these worldly lusts fill up a great part of the study, care, and conversation of Christendom. The false notion that they may be children of God while in a state of disobedience to his holy commandments, and disciples of Jesus though they revolt from his cross, and members of his true church, which is without spot or wrinkle, notwithstanding their lives are full of spots and wrinkles, is of all other deceptions upon themselves the most pernicious to the eternal condition, for they are at peace in sin and under a security in their transgression. What word jumped out at me? They're at peace in their sin. Hey, Rich, we should never be at peace in our own sin or dwelling with sin or in sin with everybody. We should never be at peace with it. And the church is teaching that. In fact, it says peace, peace. We cry peace, peace when there is no peace. That's some good stuff right there. Thank you, Michelle, for bringing that to my attention. So we're controlled by our emotions. I want to play a video. Anybody want to say anything before I move? Boy, that's been 19 minutes already. Holy smoke. Anybody have anything you want to jump in here with?
Yeah, when you read that, what came to my mind is through that scripture is take your fear and your emotion and chuck it right out the window and follow the truth. There's nothing emotional about it.
Because the fear is what's standing between you and the truth, see? Fear stands between you and the truth. And we have all kinds of reasons why we don't do things, and most of them are fearful. Some of them are well thought out. It's like I my buddy John Brockhoff. John, I don't know if you're listening this morning. John said that yesterday during the program, I mentioned the word anal. Said something about, he's so anal. And he had never really heard that. And he texted me last night. He says, Coach, what does it mean to be anal? I've never heard that word. I looked it up. And I said, well, anal basically means to analyze. Overanalyze everybody. He's so anal. He overanalyzes everything. You know people who are anal? And I said, you know the problem with being anal? Well, John texts back, says, well, I'm anal. I said, well, here's the problem with being anal. Being anal cancels faith. Because ultimately, when you get right down to it and you analyze everything, guys, I'm going to tell you, most times you ain't going to do it. If you analyze it, you're not going to do it. Because faith makes you do the incredible and the impossible. People will say to you all the time, why are you doing that? Why are you going to go there? You're not going to make a difference. Well, you analyze it, and you look at the statistics, you think about it, you know, they're right. Why am I going to do that? But faith says go. So that doesn't mean go ignorantly. That means bases are loaded, two outs, give me a hack. Nobody's had a home run off this guy all year. Well, odds are with me. I'm going to get one. But if I analyze it, overanalyze, get paralysis by analysis, we will never get anything done. So I don't want anybody to think I'm saying going off half cock, because that's not what I'm saying. But sometimes the facts don't look good, and you got to go anyway. Got to go anyway. Don't be anal. Yes, Roger.
Oh, I think you could tie also, maybe you can tie the analyze and risk requirements where faith should have moved us forward. Analyze, you hardcore analyze, I think risks look much bigger.
They do.
And you pull back versus a good assessment and let's move out on faith. Mm-hmm. Because I've been in many church environments where there's no risk takers.
Amen. There aren't.
I think as believers, we need to be faith takers. We're smart. We look at stuff, but we need to move out in faith. And sometimes faith is not always clear.
That's why it's faith. That's why. Do you guys know how many people I've heard from who've said to me, you're going to go to D.C.? Why are you going to go there? You've got no business going out there and bothering those women. You're calling them lesbians, and you're calling them names. You have no business going. And so, well, why would that be? The people are lost. I was looking here. There's going to be 250,000 lost people right standing down there on Constitution Avenue. Seems to me like that'd be a pretty good place to be. Just, oh, yeah, but they're not going to listen to you. Well, that doesn't mean I ain't going to go talk to them. That's what it means to preach to them. That's what it means to take the gospel of Jesus to those who are lost. That's what it means. They're going to be gathered there. I'm going to go. Analyze it. Yeah, probably won't make any difference. Probably won't. But from the analysis out of it, the analytics out of it, those people need Jesus. They need rebuked. Who better to do it than me and Rich? And right, you with me, guys? And listen, faith. If we could analyze it, if we could connect A, B, C, and D, if we could connect those, we'd never do it. Because for big things to happen in your life, you ain't never going to plan them out. You're just never going to do it. I can't even tell you. I can run them through my head right now. The number of tremendous football plays I saw made in a game by a guy I never thought would do it. And that... right place at the right time, he scoops and scores. He picks up a – I can remember telling my old buddy Norm, we had this great kid that didn't play football because he's going to be a great basketball star. You know how those guys are. So he didn't come out for the football team. He's probably the best – he was really, really good. He chose not to play. Didn't want to get hurt, want to be a basketball star, whatever. I don't know what it was. And during the course of one of our games, some guy about this high – scored a touchdown. We put him in late in the game and scored a touchdown. And I walked over to my buddy Norm, and I looked him in the eye. I said, you know what, Coach, who would have ever thought he would score a touchdown? And I mentioned the other kid's name, and he wouldn't. Who would have ever told you that 6 months ago? He'd score a touchdown, and this guy wouldn't. See, you just never know. You just got to prepare yourself and go. Well, Jared's thrown up here on the screen. We're going to Washington, D.C., and we'd love for you to come and join us. I'm hearing from guys all starting to hear from more and more. Next Friday is the inauguration. We're going to be there. Going to be a million people there. We're going to be there. And then on Saturday is the, I call it the Lesbian March. Makes people mad because I say it. It's feminist, the Women's March for whatever. Well, my wife's a woman. She ain't gone. She ain't gone. My daughters are women. They're not gone. These women don't speak for everybody. So I call it the Lesbian March or the Feminist March. So we're gone, and Jared and Roger have come up with some signs here that if you'd like to buy one, you got to let us know. We're getting printed up. You know, got four different colors on there, so they're expensive. But these are the signs that we're going to be holding at that Lesbian March. Scroll down through there, Jared. Feminism destroys the family. There's the old Betty. Is that the Betty Crocker lady or Rosie the Riveter? Would you all agree that feminism destroys the family? I would. How about a sign that says feminism is rebellion? Because that's all it is. It's rebellion against authority. Go to the next one, Jared. Equality is a lie. Yeah, men and women aren't equal. Why do we keep perpetuating this lie? You know, the Declaration of Independence said all men are created equal. Well, equal in the eyes of God. They're not equal. They're not equal. Then the sign says, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Oh, man, we're going to make some friends with these signs. Next one coming up, Jared. That's Genesis 3:16, by the way. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. See, that's it, right? Feminists want weak men. That's where the battle lies. That's where the battle lies. Next one. Submission is strength. Can you imagine these women will be standing along the sun holding these signs? They come marching by. Next one. Is that the last one? Male and female, he created us that way for a reason. Cool. Another one. Biblical men plus biblical woman equals a real family. Say, well, Coach, you're not going to draw them to Jesus by doing that. No, we're planting seeds, see? We're going to go plant a few seeds. That's what we're going to do. So if you'd like to have one of those signs, let us know. We'll get one printed up for you. Even if you can't go, you can stand out on the street corner where you live. We have about 20, maybe more, maybe less, few less, guys who are going to go to Washington, D.C. I'm going to stand out there and lift up the name of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. It ain't for wussies. And listen, if you're a sissy, don't come. And if you just, all you want to do is share the love of Jesus. I ran into a guy yesterday, kind of made me mad. When they start talking about their entire focus is getting people saved. Listen, I'm for that too. I'm for that too. But if your entire, oh Lord Jesus, if your entire focus of your life is getting people to buy what you're selling, you will miss the whole thing because it's a war. And during the course of the war, I hope they find Jesus. I hope the need in their heart becomes so heavy they can't bear it and they turn to the Lord. But someone's got to tell them. Someone has to tell them. Someone has to tell them they're wrong. Someone has to tell them they're in sin. Someone has to tell them. And they don't want to hear it. And that's what I just read here from William Penn. This idea that you can call yourself a Christian and not act like one, which brings me to this video that I'm going to play for you. This video is done by, let me see if I got it here. I can't remember her name, Jared. Daggone, it doesn't matter. First of all, it jumped out at me. It's a woman preacher. I ain't big on women preachers, but you're going to see in the midst of it, she asks authority from the bishop to continue. So she's under authority, and truth is truth no matter who it comes from. So I want you to listen to this 7 minutes and ask yourself whether or not this ought to be preached in your church. It is, what's her name? We'll find it. Go ahead and play that, Jared. It's about 7 minutes.
Been unaware because you approve it. And if I approve it, the teenagers open their heart because they say, they approved it, so it must be all right. You can't approve what God has disapproved. We got our own dance. We got our own song. We got our own music. And sometimes musicians think you don't know the chord. They play unholy music in a holy sanctuary. The Bible says there is a formula, an outline, that he's approved and called it worship. I said, well, God, I don't want to. Bishop, you have to give me the privilege to go forward. I'm out of time. Okay. Sisters and brothers, because you just say, well, this is gospel because I said Jesus. The Lord woke me up and said, Iona, just because you put Jesus in the phrase doesn't make it gospel. The gospel is an anointed story authored by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. We are worshiping God now with our heads. We're worshiping God with our intellect. And God is upset because it's destroying the tentacles of the faith. We are becoming so engrafted into the world until you cannot tell Christianity from Christianity. Everybody's a Christian, but not everybody is Christian. Sisters and brothers, there's an explicit difference. Because this is a high moral integrity of discipline. If it wasn't, we wouldn't have such a tough time doing it. But it's because of Jesus Christ that's in us, we keep making advances day by day. If we let everything go, so she can have sex and this one can keep going in the choir and this one can have this brother's wife and still be a deacon, and this one can direct a choir and he's straight homosexual, and this one can sing because of their talents and she's a lesbian. You know it, I know it, we all know it, but nothing's done. What are we handing the next generation? The Bible said, contend for the faith.
Amen.
Was once delivered. This is not what Jesus gave us. We have to correct people even when they're big tithers, when they bring in big offerings, even when they're talented, even when they have 52 gifts. So what? When you correct them, you save their soul and you deliver them out of the gates of hell. People are contracting full-blown AIDS in the church, in the church, in the church. They grew up in the church, born in the church. They got AIDS in the church with other saints. It's all out war on the family. What are we handing our teenagers? How are you going to have a Christian nightclub? We don't have nightclubs. The Bible said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Turn all the lights on. Let's see what we are doing. But certain men ordained. They've been ordained to subvert the tentacles of our faith. Well, how you gonna win them? We gotta give them something. They young. Give them what they gave us. Come on to the altar. Your flesh is out of control. Repent. When you finish speaking in tongues, repent! We can't mamby-pamby our young people. We offer them a weak Christ. How R. Kelly gonna sing gospel? How Whitney Houston gonna sing gospel? And we just smooth it over. Smooth it right on over. The devil is a lie. We're gonna call black, black, and white, white, holy, holy, and unholy, unholy. You're gonna sing Amazing Grace on Sunday and knock the boots on Fridays. The devil is a lie. Church, and we're gonna give them all kind of accolades. They don't get nothing here. The only one we praise here is God. They not God.
Boy, I had two things that jumped out at me right away. Two things. Number one, this battle in the flesh is so hard. My goodness, is it ever hard? And to think that you could possibly survive against the flesh without the Holy Spirit ain't never going to happen. We're seeing it everywhere we look. And number two, we are selling America a weak Jesus. It's a weak Jesus. See, at least the Muslims kill for their God. At least they'll do that. Said, Coach, are you saying we ought to? No, you know what I'm saying. The commitment we have with Jesus is a one-way commitment. See, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is. We ain't a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Do you hear that, Rich? We ain't a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We ain't a brother to Jesus. We don't stand up for him no matter what. Whoa, no. He said he'll never leave us nor betray us, but we're constantly leaving and betraying them. See, it's a one-way thing that we got going on here. That's the problem in Christianity. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And we are selling a weak gospel and a weak Jesus to the world. And we wonder why people don't want it. And wonder why people got mad at me a week ago when I said I wasn't going to sin. Wasn't going to sin that day and didn't sin that day because they deny the power of God to conquer sin. Just look around. Look around at the church patty caking and ignoring all the stuff that's going on. Got to make America great again. We can't make America great again because the family's no good and we're losing our kids.
Hey, Dave.
Yes, sir.
That statement, disrupts their peace in their sin. That's what it does. That's why we're going to DC. We're going to disrupt their peace in their sin.
Amen.
Just see, like Jesus did everywhere he went.
Rich, they're saying, Jesus said, they cry peace, peace when there is no peace. Rich, as long as sin is fighting actively on the streets, there's no peace with that, brother. We can't have peace with that. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And I think I shared with you before Matthew 5, with Jesus, with the Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. The peacemakers. The peacemakers, not the peacekeepers. And what is the peacemaker? Well, the peacemaker is the one who introduces the Prince of Peace. And how does peace come into a in the middle of a brawl? How do we get peace in the middle of a brawl? Do you just go in and start being nice to everybody? Is that how peace comes? No, man. Those cops run in there with their billy clubs and their guns and their handcuffs, and they lock people down. That brings peace. See, we're supposed to be fighting our adversary, the devil. We're supposed to be fighting him like that. We're supposed to be conquering sin, death, hell and the grave. Jesus did it. He handed it over to us. Why are we not conquering sin? Or better yet, why are we putting up with sin? And why are we putting up with sin in the church? Why is the church, of all places, afraid to speak out against sin? It's baffling to me. What do you think, JR?
You're right on, brother.
It is right on, isn't it? So let me show you something else here that you're never going to see from the mainstream media. And I want you to sit back and listen to this, because this ain't politics, okay? You can take it as politics if you want to, but this isn't politics. Jared, I want you to pull the one up there. It's about what did I call it? Putin on morals. I'll bet you guys haven't heard this. I'll bet you haven't heard this. Putin made a speech. Hey, Jared, I think he can start at about the 1 minute mark. I think we'll be okay. And you're going to have to be able to, well, the guy's reading it as we go. Cause you know, the big boogeyman now is Putin in Russia, right? Putin in Russia. That's the big one. And could it be possible? I don't know. Could it be possible that Putin is not that far away from American values? Could it be? Oh boy, I have to say this. Who would you trust more, Putin or Obama? Huh? That'd be a toss-up, wouldn't it? Come on, somebody give me a thumbs up. Know that you kind of at least know where I'm coming from, right? We watched Obama be idolized last night. Well, this was a speech that Putin gave, and somebody's interpreting what he said. The words are going to be at the bottom, and I want you to listen to what Vladimir Putin is saying regarding morals and the West. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Elite's penchant for pedophilia. In his 2016 Christmas speech, Vladimir Putin dropped some bombshells on the New World Order that were completely ignored by the mainstream U.S. press. And in his Christmas speech, we see some startling similarities between Putin and Trump, both of whom seem to recognize the fact that the New World Order powers are aligned against sovereign states, aligned against Christianity, aligned against traditional morals, and aligned against the family. In his incredibly important speech, Putin says, "We see that many Euro-Atlantic states have taken the way where they deny or reject their own roots, including their Christian roots, which form the basis of Western civilization. In these countries, the moral basis and any traditional identity are being denied. National, religious, cultural, and even gender identities are being denied or relativized. There, politics treats a family with many children as equal to a homosexual partnership. Faith in God is equal to faith in Satan." And guys, here's the Pizzagate DC pedo ring bombshell that Putin dropped. And I quote, "The excesses and exaggeration of political correctness in these countries indeed leads to serious consideration for the legitimization of parties that promote the propaganda of pedophilia." Putin clearly knows about the elite's penchant for pedophilia. And Tom DeLay himself has warned the American people.
Well, we've already found a secret memo coming out of the Justice Department. They're now going to go after 12 new perversions, things like bestiality, polygamy, having sex with little boys and making that legal.
Putin continues. "The people in many European states are actually ashamed of their religious affiliations and are indeed frightened to speak about them." Guys, as a side note, for those who've never read the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which is claimed to be nothing more than a hoax or a forgery, I'd encourage you to read those protocols and then consider the war that is being waged that Putin is describing in this speech, and then ask yourself, is something behind the scenes driving this agenda? And do Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin stand in some opposition to it? Putin says Christian holidays and celebrations are abolished or neutrally renamed, as if one were ashamed of those Christian holidays. With this method, one hides away the deeper moral value of these celebrations. And of course, he's referring to the birth of Jesus Christ and the rebirth of the human race through the blood of Jesus Christ. Putin says, "And these countries try to force this model onto other countries globally. I am deeply convinced that this is a direct way to the degradation and primitivization of culture. This leads to deeper demographic and moral crisis in the West. What can be a better evidence for the moral crisis of a human society than the loss of its reproductive function? And today, nearly all developed Western countries cannot survive reproductively, not even with the help of migrants. Without the moral values that are rooted in Christianity and other world religions, without rules and moral values which have formed and been developed over millennia, people will inevitably lose their human dignity. We can see the degradation of family in our own society tearing us apart. Putin stands in opposition to that degradation. And yet the mainstream Mockingbird media would label this man an enemy of humanity and an enemy of the United States. Putin continues, and we think it is right and natural to defend and preserve these moral values. One has to respect the right of every minority to self-determination, but at the same time, there cannot and must not be any doubt about the rights of the majority.
Amen.
And here's where Putin starts to sound a lot like some of the things Donald Trump said when he was running for president. Quote, at the same time as this process at a national level, we observe on an international level the attempts to create a unipolar, unified model of the world, to relativize and remove institutions of international right and national sovereignty. Trump himself has said the number one way to preserve peace and prosperity is through the sovereign state.
We will no longer surrender this country or its people to the false song of globalism. The nation state remains the true foundation for happiness and harmony. I am skeptical of international unions that tie us up and bring America down. And under my administration, we will never enter America into any agreement that reduces our ability to control our own affairs.
And the sovereign state stands in stark opposition to the Rockefeller, Rothschild, Soros desire for a new world order, one world government. Putin says, in such a unipolar, unified world, there is no place for sovereign states. Such a world would need merely vassals. And when he refers to vassals, think of the way the EU is set up. Thank goodness it's falling apart. But the EU has unelected bureaucrats in Brussels that supersede democracy, that supersede the will of the people, and that in turn only enforce the tyranny of the banking elite, which controls the EU. And in this clip, Putin concludes, from a historical perspective, such a unipolar world would mean the surrender of one's own identity and of God-created diversity. Guys, when he says the surrender of one's own identity, it is exactly what the New World Order wants. It wants to cloud the lines between men and women, between right and wrong. It wants willing subjects that will bow down before the technological beast system of one world government, of one world currency, of the will of the banking elite, the satanic banking elite, as exemplified by Pizzagate, by Pedogate, by Jimmy Savile, and those that would cover up the crimes against children. The most important part of this speech, and I'll allow Putin to say it in his own words,
политкорректности доходят до того, что всерьез говорится о регистрации партий, ставящих своей целью пропаганду педофилии.
Thanks for watching. And for real news, 24/7.
Man, huh? Man, the propagandizement that's happened in the good old U.S. of A. Hey, JR, isn't it amazing? Really, truly, truly amazing. But here we are. It's like my life is recycling. The Russians are our enemies again. How long, when did Ronald Reagan stand up and say, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall? And Mr. Gorbachev tore down the wall, and the Cold War ended. And now here we are again. Here we are again. The Russians again being our enemies. And see, what's really happened to us, if we will wake up and see this, America used to be the moral compass of the world. America used to be. And now we've got a media that's no different than what, when I was growing up, they called it Pravda, propaganda. The American media has become the communist propaganda. They have been. They are the vehicle of a communist elitist government in the United States of America. We see the fake news, the war on them. We see all that war going on, and we look across the ocean, and we see maybe a guy over there who also understands what's going on. And the idea that a man, Russia, before communism came, Russia was Christian, filled with churches. Did a renaissance take place in Russia and we're not aware of it? Hey, JR, I talked to our Russian buddies here in Columbus, Peter and those kind of guys. They say that Christianity is awakening and arising. Do you know that Putin has criminalized homosexuality? Did you know that? There's no abortion in Russia. Do you know that? And so something is going on deeper than what we understand with these, this Western civilization and the values that we used to promote. And as we said yesterday, Christianity has taken us to the point where we value other belief systems as much as we value ours. They have ingrained in us and inculcated in us the idea that all religions and all values are the same. And who are you to judge? Somebody jump in here. That's the war we're fighting.
It is just incredible, Coach, how I remember when I was growing up, I couldn't understand why Russians couldn't see what was going on.
Same thing, JR. But how can they be so stupid they would be that they'd listen to Pravda? Don't they know what's going on?
And now in America, how can we be so stupid? It's incredible.
It's unbelievable how stupid it is. And now, see, again, the internet's saving us because at least we have some free flow of information. Did you guys ever know that Putin had said that? I came across this. I couldn't believe it when I heard. I couldn't believe it that Putin had said that. Zeroing in specific on the fact that Christianity had lost its moral value and its moral value influence in the West. Christianity was gone. Christianity was out the window. I better restore it. Putin's crying for that.
Hey, Dave.
Yes, sir.
You know, there's no doubt America's Christianity has become the immoral compass of the world now. I mean, just listening to his words. I mean, it's no wonder we're despised around the world. We deserve to be despised.
Well, Rich, not only that, he says we're promoting it. We're promoting our ungodliness around the world. Hillary Clinton wanted to make abortion legal across the world. She wanted to use the UN to make abortion legal everywhere. Now, you tell me, that's good, right? Huh? Spreading democracy as if democracy is what we're supposed to spread. Oh my goodness. What do you think, Raj? Can't hear you, man.
Dave?
Yeah.
This is the thing I want to say quickly, and I need help. We associate republics and democracy with the flourishing of Christianity. But in the Bible, there have been kings that one might consider benevolent dictators
who
allowed the flourishing of Christianity.
That's right.
Is that statement too odd?
No, it isn't. In fact, it was malevolent dictators that kept the countries Christian. And what brought about the just a second, Jared. What brought about the American Revolution? What brought those guys across the boat, across the ocean? Puritans who said, hey, the king screwed up. The king's teaching stuff that ain't Christian. We're out of here, right? Because for years and years and years, we were an experiment in self-government. It never happened anywhere in the world before, but it was always a benevolent dictator hammering from top down Christian values. Well, now we have a dictator that's not benevolent, and he's destroying, crushing Christian values. We're seeing just the opposite. Go ahead, Jared. I'm sorry.
I just... Along the same line, it's not, we're told that capitalism and democracy are just the only way to have freedom. And it's not whether you have a capitalist society or a democratic society or a republic. It's whether those things are good. That's what counts. It's not whether you have them. It's whether they're good. Because if they're bad and evil...
Amen.
You get tyranny anyway. It's whether they're righteous. That's the only, you can have a king, you can have a dictator, as long as he's righteous.
Amen. Amen. And we, there's no king but King Jesus, right? And it was John Adams said that the Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It's fully inadequate for the government of any other. If we are not based in following Christian values, we are going to go under. And a homosex, as Putin said, that ain't Christian values. Boys, that ain't Christian values. Sorry. Abortion, that ain't Christian values. So we have elevated liberty above control of Christianity. We've elevated it. We call it licentiousness. Everyone doing what's right in his own eyes. That's the America that we're living in today. And the only way we're going to roll that back. See, listen, I think Trump sees this stuff. I don't think he's a great moral man, maybe in his own personal life. Hey, you know what? He's probably as moral as I was before I was saved. But he's smart enough to understand right and wrong. And some things you don't do, and the glue that some things we have to have a set of common values. And he sure as hell knows it's not coming from the United Nations. And he's smart enough to know that maybe Putin's not this boogeyman they're all making him out to be. There's something crazy, something good and crazy going on in America. But the pushback's still coming. Roger, did you want to say something? I stepped on you there for a minute. Somebody wanted to say something. Doesn't matter. Here's what I was going to do. I got some more stuff. I had a lot more stuff to show you. I want to plant this in your brain, and got 4 minutes. We can think about this tomorrow. Two things happened in the last 48 hours, maybe 72 hours, under the radar that most people didn't get. Number one, I had a video to show on this, so maybe I'll show it tomorrow. Number one, Donald Trump has named Robert Kennedy Jr. as a special whatever, I can't remember the title, to look into vaccinations. You guys are aware of that, aren't you? Autism, vaccinations, the sickness that it's bringing. So in other words, Trump has now poked his finger in the eye of the pharmaceutical companies. That's one of the most powerful industries in the world. Trump poked his eye, finger right in the eye. So we're going to look into that. And then something else that was done again, we didn't see it. It's the thing that got John F. Kennedy killed. Trump has come out in support of auditing the Fed. The very thing, Rand Paul just passed a bill. I think the bill passed. I'm about to check on it. Had something here I was going to show on it. Auditing the Fed. In other words, exposing where all this money is coming from and where all of this money is going. And I'm going to tell you something. They ain't going to let that happen. So the battle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman is becoming more and more apparent. And I'm telling you this. You, I'm talking to you, have got to become a Johnny Appleseed. You have got to do what Samuel Adams said. You have got to go around. He said the American Samuel Adams was the what they called the firebrand of the Constitution of the Revolution. He was the one stirring everything up behind the scenes that nobody knew. He wasn't in a position of authority. His cousin John Adams, his uncle John Adams, his cousin John, or whatever, brother, however, they were the ones doing all the legislative stuff. Samuel Adams was the one behind the scenes. You know what Samuel Adams said? You know how the American Revolution was won, according to Samuel Adams? He said all it took was a tireless minority setting brush fires in the minds of the people. We have to set brush fires in the minds of the people everywhere we go. And part of that brush fire is burning up this lie of political correctness and all the stuff that's coming from the media, because it is only the truth, if we know it, that's going to set us free. So we circle back around, Rich, come back right to where we were at the very beginning. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first that. Speak first the kingdom of God. Speak first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Speak first the kingdom of God. Hey, speak first the kingdom of God. We have to begin to do that. And the promises, they're going to hate us. They're going to say all manner of evil against us. They're going to lock us up. They're going to put us in jail. They're going to cut off our heads. They're going to speak first the kingdom of God. And if we are not leading with gospel conversations, we are not being faithful to the Lord that we claim to serve. I'm amping it up, boys. I'm amping it up. Everywhere I go, more and more, I'm speaking what I know to be the truth, and I don't give a daggone what those who hear it think. Whew, boy, what a time to be alive, huh? What a time to be alive. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.